Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
He's a bit quiet today. Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. How are you? Yes, you heard right there, Eileen. 20 degrees. It's the 18th of October and we're back in the shirt sleeves. It's mad. I'm just looking there. 46 minutes ago, Ronan McGreevy in the Irish Times. Extraordinarily mild October weather set to end on Thursday. The mild weather, which has made this one of the warmest autumns on record, is due to end this Thursday. A series of tropical maritime air masses from the southwest has brought temperatures more akin to the middle of summer. A high of 19.2 degrees was recorded at Carlow on Sunday and temperatures were up to 19 degrees in the Phoenix Park in Dublin on Monday morning. That's this morning. That's between 5 and 7 degrees higher than the average for this time of the year. I was in the supermarket yesterday evening and I met a neighbour and I said, the weather. He says, I know. Our luck's going to run out eventually. Well, this Thursday, by the sounds of it there. This is in straight away, 51551. Nolene, also known as Nanny, she needs our help and your help. It's a long shot. Hi, Ray. This is a long shot. My granddaughter's has lost her much-loved Ted yesterday. She's coming 5 this weekend and he's been part of her life since birth. That'd be 5 years. They were at a football match in Bray and then went to Tesco Extra in Naas. I know, as I said, it's a long shot, but you never know. It's just a light green velvety cloth with a grey teddy head. She calls him Ted, even though he's not your typical teddy bear. Maybe someone saw him. If you read this out, thank you so much. Yours gratefully, Nolene. This is a long shot. Yes, it is, Nolene. It's a long, 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 long shot. But it's a light green velvety cloth with a grey teddy head. And it would really make her granddaughter's 5th birthday extra special if she got little Ted back. Anyway, that long shot, but there it came in even before we started. So we said we'd read that out for you today. I'm reading Evanna Lynch's book, Evanna Lynch, Luna Lovegood from Harry Potter. And I think she was in My Name is Emily as well. She's an Irish actress, writer. This is a memoir, The Opposite of Butterfly Hunting. And it is an amazing book. It's just a phenomenal book. It's about her growing up. And you will know, if you know anything about Evanna Lynch, that she has suffered with an eating disorder, anorexia, when she was younger. And she writes about it in such detail and with such emotion that you're really pulled into it. And it gives you an understanding of the condition that I've never had before. I've read loads on that over the years in textbooks, you know, personal testimonies. But this is just something else. She's an amazing writer. So really looking forward to talking to her tomorrow on the programme. That's Evanna Lynch, The Opposite of a Butterfly Hunting. And on writing as well, Brendan Kennelly. And people have mentioned that you'd see him around. I went to Trinity back in the 80s and he was always around the campus and he always had a glint in his eye. That there was something playful about him, something youthful about him, even as he got older. I was related to him through marriage. He was at my brother's wedding back in the day. I was only, you know, in my probably late teens, early 20s at the time and didn't know who he was or his importance to the cultural landscape of the country. So didn't engage him in conversation. But there is that, and I'm sure it'll be uncovered. It's this amazing Late Late Show from back in 1997. Sorry, 1994 it was. And it was when Gay Byrne was presenting it. 1997 it says here. Sorry, 1997. And you might remember it and people will be talking about it today. So Brendan Kennelly was on as the last guest and it came to ringing the person who had won the competition and the prize was a car. And as Gay did, he got the person live up on air to tell them the good news that they had won a car. And the lady who answered the phone was not as joyful and ecstatic as you would expect from a person who has just won a car. And then the full story unravelled and we found out that The entry was from her daughter, and her daughter had been killed in a car accident the night before. And I remember watching it. You're stunned into silence. But Gayburn commiserated with the woman, asked her, did she want to stay on? And then said to Brendan Kennelly, is there anything you would like to say? And he just said the end of one of his most famous poems, Begin. And because we haven't found the actual recording, this is him saying it elsewhere, but this is what he said. So the poor woman was on the line just after losing her daughter. It was live television. She had just won a car, but that was completely forgotten about and irrelevant. And this is what Brendan Kennelly said to her.
Though we live in a world that dreams of ending, that always seems about to give in, something that will not acknowledge conclusion insists that we forever begin. Thank you for listening.
That's the late Brendan Kennelly there. And that's from a talk he gave in the Irish Writers Centre. It's up on the Poetry Ireland website. And he talks in that talk as well about the voice. And he's quite self-deprecating at the beginning of this talk.
I actually honestly don't believe I read poetry in any kind of special way, except when maybe I'm alone in the middle of the night. Poetry is lovely to hear by a voice which you pretend is yours, but in fact it isn't. I think our voices are different during the day. The morning voice, the day voice, the evening voice, the night voice.
Yeah, there he is. May he rest in peace. Breed says, Brendan Kennelly had a delicious smile in his eyes. Yeah, and isn't that what they say about a smile? The real smile is in your eyes, not in your mouth. And he had a beautiful voice as well, a velvety voice. And he knew exactly what to do with the English language. Ray, not on Brendan Kennelly, but on the weather. It's always raining in the west of Ireland. We never get hot, warm weather here in October, says Martin Ford in Sligo. And I thought I'd share a new word. My 9-year-old daughter used to describe the weather this morning. It's a soggy day, says Aisling in Cork. It's soggy down there. It's warm up here. And it's summery up here. And of course, the evenings are closing in. The evenings are closing in because we were planning to go to Galway tomorrow. Now, as it happens with things changing around, we're not going for another week or two. We're planning to spend some time with Catherine Corliss in her home in Tuam. And she's going to show me around where the mother and baby home was all those years ago. And we were planning to do it this week. Anyway, I was looking out last week and I was thinking, it's 6:15 now. If we go to... Anyway, it was going to be too dark. So we've decided to meet Catherine one of the mornings. But we know that you say a grand stretch in the evenings when we're coming into summer. And unfortunately, what we're saying now is, down where I'm from, we used to say, well, it's, you know, the evenings are closing in. The evenings are closing in on you. And they are. John says, have faith. My now 41-year-old niece lost a cuddly toy dog 40 years ago coming home from a football match. It was found the next day following appeals on Boyneside Radio. Still has it. And I sometimes met Brendan Kennelly in Bewley's, and he had a lovely curiosity and interest in people. He was great to chat with. And he loved Dublin, which is unusual for a Kerry man. What a great gent. And the world is a lesser place without him. R.I.P. says Pat in Dublin. Now, we'll play a bit of music and then I'll tell you about our new quiz. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. Where is that? I put that in and it's gone now, disappeared. I had a song there. We play this one. Amelda May and the Chieftains and a lovely version of Carolina Rue. It's a comforter. Ah, that's it is. It's not a teddy bear. It's a comforter. We have them at home. Yes, I should have known that. So it's a square piece of soft cloth and then there's a teddy bear head on it. That's exactly it. You're right. So that's what we're looking for Nolene, also known as Nanny. A light green velvety cloth with a grey teddy head. So it's not a teddy bear as such. People know them who have children, who have grandchildren. Thanks for pointing that out. That'll focus people's attention in our search for that. Maybe we can cheer up Nolene's granddaughter, who's going to be five this weekend. Yes, we have a brand new quiz. We've borrowed a little bit from our friends in television. We've gone to the archives and we've got music and TV and movies and news. And we have clips. Yes, it's all sound clips of songs and news reports and bits of TV programmes and bits of movies. And we want two people to come on and answer only three questions each on the clips. And there's a little bit of a twist, because you get extra points for a short clip. So you get 2 points for a short, one for a long. That's the way it works, because it's more difficult if you're only getting a short clip. And it's easier if you are getting a long clip. So two for a short, one for a long. We're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and answer three questions each. And we have a prize. I must make that longer. That in the ears. Yeah. It's a 2-night break for two people at the Hard Rock Hotel in Dublin. It's a chance to dine in one of Dublin City's best restaurants, Zampas. Experience the taste of Lima with Peruvian food in a coolly atmospheric vibe with cocktails made by expert mixologists, surrounded by memorabilia from some of music's top talents. It's set in the heart of Temple Bar in Dublin City Centre. You can explore all the city has to offer. And you can find out more at hardrockhotels.com/Dublin. So, two people, and here's your qualifying question at 1850-715-900 to be in with a chance. Which Irish golfer shot a final round of 66 to win the CJ Cup in Las Vegas, claiming his 20th title on the PGA Tour? That's easy enough. 1850-715-900. Which Irish golfer shot a final round of 66 to win the CJ Cup in Las Vegas over the weekend? 1850-715-900, and we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Owen has been on. I met Brendan Kennelly in the late 60s when in TCD, but much later we met for a coffee and it became a regular thing. He had a beautiful voice, but he had another voice, his eyes. I haven't seen a man with such expressive eyes. They said everything that was in his heart, which was most kind, says Owen. On the late Brendan Kennelly. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to Jamie Flannery, who's in the midst of organising a celebration in honour of Fungi the Dolphin, who disappeared from Dingle Bay a year ago, and it happened yesterday, and Jamie is back on the line. How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm great, Ray. How are you getting on?
Good. So it was a big day in Dingle yesterday, the unveiling of a mural, and what else happened?
It was indeed. So we unveiled the mural, was commissioned for as part of the celebration of the life of Fungi, and then throughout the day from 11 o'clock to 5 o'clock we took people from throughout the peninsula out on board the various boat tours. We brought them down to the harbour, they got to see the mural, and also they listened to stories from various people on board the boats throughout the day. We also had loads of local musicians on the pier, and we're very grateful for them giving up their time to perform on the pier throughout the day. And we also showcased some of the local art and stories that the schools of the around the peninsula worked on throughout the last couple of weeks as part of an exhibition on the pier as well throughout the day.
And the murals by local artist Kieran McKenna. And the location of it is important, isn't it? Because you can't see it from, you have to go out to see it.
Yeah, so I suppose it's such a special location because it's on the side of the gable of the lighthouse as you're coming in on board a boat into Dingle Harbour, or as you're walking past it out along the banks as you're walking past Dingle Harbour. So the location of it is very special because Fungi spent all his time out around the mouth of the harbour, but also the lighthouse keeper Paddy Fercher, who lived there, was one of the first people to see Fungi from the lighthouse when he lived there back in the 1980s. So it has that special connection as well.
You had a good turnout.
We did. There was over 1,200 people went out on board the boats from 11 to 5 yesterday, and we're very grateful. We raised 5,480 euro for two really vital charities, so we're very grateful to the local community.
And those, we'll give those charities a mention, the Mallow Search and Rescue and the Dingle Coast Guard, and that's your little niece, is it, on the cover of the Examiner today?
It is indeed. So Sean Mannion, who spent loads of time with Fungi, down through the years, was actually there, was there, and he took a photograph of my niece, who unfortunately didn't get to meet Fungi, but she doesn't remember meeting him, but she. But it's nice to see the generations all the way down, and everybody that was there on the day, you could see three or four generations have stories to tell about Fungi and memories that they have had for the last 37 years.
37 years. And that's little Poppy Flannery. And she's, what age is Poppy?
Poppy's two.
Two, right, yeah, yeah. I suppose, although today, yesterday was a celebration, it was also bookending. It must have been a little bit sad.
It was. It was an emotional day, I suppose, to mark a year on and also to bring some form of closure to a lot of people. It was something that we really wanted to do to just celebrate his life. And a lot of people really enjoyed the day. And it was mainly for everyone, as I said, who has spent time with him. And they were able to come back to Dingle or come out and board the boat and just be back where they have met Fungi or where we had experienced brilliant memories with him.
It's mad to think that, you know, a single bottlenose dolphin had such an impact. And not just the community of Dingle, but on the whole country, isn't it? If you told this story to anybody outside of Ireland, my God, you're daft over there.
It is. And I suppose even to go beyond Ireland, think of the amount of people who travel from all over the world to one small town in Ireland. But I guess that's what was special about him, because everybody has a story about their time with Fungi, or everybody has a memory they had with Fungi. And that's what, I suppose, year on, people were coming back saying, my friends are here last year and they loved the trip out with Fungi, or they spent time with him and he jumped up beside the boat. And to just, even when you would go out, I used to go out with my family and we would spend time out there, and he'd come up beside the boat and the way he'd look at you, it was nearly, there was just a connection that he had with humans more so than other dolphins. And people think sometimes when I talk about it and all my family that we're a bit crazy, but I think it's loads of people have told.
Well, we met that English couple who they set aside their holidays every year to come over to Dingle, and they had a boat and they used to go out in the evenings when all of the other boats were finished bringing tourists out.
So Paul Britton, who Paul and Georgie used to come over, and Paul unfortunately did pass away a couple of years ago. But yesterday as well, we're establishing a scholarship in honour of Paul Britton and Fungi. So that'll be for one of the students in the peninsula to go on to university as well. So that was something that was announced yesterday as well.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, it's the end of an era, Jamie, and I'm sure you completely appreciate that yourselves down in Dingle. But it's great to hear. I'm just reading the reports today that Dingle lives on and it's still a huge magnet for tourists because it's such a wonderful, picturesque part of the country and well worth a visit. Jamie, great talking to you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Mind yourself.
Thanks, mind you. No worries at all. Thanks for me as well.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, we're looking for contestants for our new quiz. It's very straightforward. We think it's easier than the last one, actually. Reeling in the ears, we've three clips for each contestant and they have to answer a question on it from a particular year. You can see the reference there, reeling in the ears. Anyway, we're looking for two people. And the qualifying question today is, which Irish golfer shot a final of 66 to win the CJ Cup in Las Vegas, claiming his 20th title on the PGA Tour? Rory, we're going to give you a choice now to make it easy and encourage you to take part. Rory McIlroy or Rory Cowan, 1850 715 900. Today is World Menopause Day, and the purpose of the day is to raise awareness of the menopause and the support options available for improving health and well-being. Advocate of the day and presenter of Let's Talk Hormone Health is broadcaster Lorraine Keane. And she joins me now in studio. How are you, Lorraine?
I'm very good. Thank you, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
Now, we spoke about you and your perimenopause about 3 years ago.
We did.
And at the time, it was still very much a taboo topic, wasn't it?
Oh, gosh, yeah, yeah. And I started talking about this almost 6 years ago. And it was kind of by accident that I even found out that I was in perimenopause from a very early age, unfortunately since probably my late 30s. And how I found out about it was I was asked to try an Irish natural health supplement called Clemarine Menamin, and I tried it, and it worked, because the symptoms I was having at the time, which I didn't realise were anything to do with menopause, peri or otherwise, were disrupted sleep. So I was waking up maybe 3 to 5 times in a night, and then it would take me ages to get back to sleep again, with my thoughts racing about all the stuff that I had to do the next day, which a lot of women do anyway with their lists in their heads. And then I'd wake up the next morning and I would be irritable, tired, low energy, low mood. And I put it all down to the fact that I hadn't slept. Oh, right. No libido either. So again, you're not going to feel amorous if you haven't slept a wink.
Yes.
For days and for weeks. And for me, it was for years it was going on. So when I tried this supplement, when they contacted me and they asked me, could I be in perimenopause? I said, no, don't be ridiculous. You know, why? Like, I'm not even 50 yet. I'm not even close to 50 yet. And they started going through symptoms, and I realised that I ticked a lot of boxes. Okay. Hair loss, skin, adult acne, you know.
All of those things.
All of those things, yeah.
And they're, so perimenopause into menopause,
yes.
Is that the way it happens for every woman, yeah, or is every woman completely different?
No, if you're going to get menopause, you're going to get perimenopause. And if you're lucky, it'll be for maybe 5 years before menopause, so around 45. If you're unlucky, it might be for 10 years. I was particularly unlucky because I think I was probably in perimenopause from the age of 37 or 38,
right,
not knowing. It was a difficult thing to come out and talk about almost 6 years ago. It's great that we're all talking about it now. And it's been amazing. The Joe Duffy Show, you know, I think they did 3 weeks,
yes,
nearly on the subject. Women came out and told their stories. So it's wonderful that we have come this far now. But we still need to go further in the, yeah, workplace and things like that. We need to make changes. You just need to be aware of symptoms. They're milder than menopause. You won't get all of them. There are 34 symptoms in total of perimenopause.
Right.
And thank goodness none of us get all of them. I did at the time feel like, oh, I just thought I was losing my mind,
yeah,
you know. I just wasn't me. And feeling low, I knew I wasn't depressed because I know what depression looks like. You know, I've had family members, friends. I worked with AWARE for years, the charity for depression. But I was still very, very low. My confidence was knocked considerably, which is, again, not like me. I started second-guessing myself, you know, and my abilities. And, like, that does affect you in your work as well, you know. So when I found out that all it was another stage in that hormonal journey that we go through as women. God, it's tough being a girl.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
I know. I just thought, well, I don't want other people to suffer in silence.
Yeah.
Like,
where
I
are
did.
You at now?
I'm still perimenopausal because I'm still getting regular periods,
right,
and I have never had a hot flush.
Okay.
So they'd be the ones that people would think are the obvious ones. You know you're in full menopause if you haven't had a period for 12 months. That's
okay.
When they say this is the start of it now. But for perimenopause, because you're getting some of the symptoms in a milder form, and I've never had a hot flush, so I wouldn't have known. You know,
yeah,
you just automatically think if that's the key
and
one.
Because
and
you were, I suppose, for want of a better expression, the face of perimenopause in the country. And you were, because you were speaking about it for the last 6 years,
country,
you said.
Yeah.
So what were people saying to you, and how were women reacting to you?
It was amazing, Ray. And it's actually been probably my favourite thing to have done in my life so far, to be perfectly honest. We would go around with a panel of experts, not just in natural health, but Dr. Mary Ryan, the top endocrinologist in Ireland, was on our panel. We would have experts in nutrition and diet, exercise, so lifestyle, well-being,
no,
all of that. And we would all share advice and tips, and I'd share my story, and I hosted the events. And after the events, the amount of women that came up to us after and burst into tears, you know, some of them were crying because they had been suffering for so long. They were afraid to talk to somebody about it. They thought they were just going mad. So, you know, they were relieved that that's what it was. And some of them were crying because whole marriages broke up, you know,
yeah,
families were affected by it. It's shocking. It's absolutely shocking because why? We don't have the knowledge, and knowledge is key. You know, we need to educate ourselves, look after our health, including our hormone health, to be empowered as women.
On top of that, because we were talking to Ray O'Neill and Alison Keating last week, who come in and give
yeah,
advice on relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the emails was from a man whose wife has gone into menopause,
mm-hmm,
and he doesn't know how to broach it.
Oh, gosh.
Because and
yeah,
if you can't talk about it in
yeah,
a relationship,
yeah,
well, it's going to lead to tension.
Yeah, And why? Why have we been afraid to talk about it? I think because it had that kind of connotation generations ago, that it was your last stage of life as a woman. You know, that was it. Old and decrepit, past it. Maybe back then we lived to 60. Yeah. Now we're living to 80, 90, even 100.
Yeah.
So actually, menopause at 50 is practically midlife.
It is.
For a lot of people.
Yes.
There's a lot more living to do after menopause. Mm. And that's why I think it's really important that first we talk about it, but that women educate themselves and educate each other on it, to know that there are options. There are lots of different options.
Yes.
And to know then that when you get out the other side of it, you're actually going to live your best life. Like, I can't wait, honestly, to go through menopause, because I know now how to manage it best, right? So I'm armed and dangerous with all the information I need, and come out the other side and not have periods, not have PMS, not have aches and pains, not have to plan what I'm wearing if I'm doing a gig or a job or I'm on stage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
all these things that you men are very lucky you've never had to deal with since you were very young.
And at home then, because you are what you do, what you do, and you're on the road and you're doing these talks and all that sort of thing, obviously it's open for discussion in your house.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Poor Peter. I mean, he's got myself and two teenagers. He has a WhatsApp group. I have to tell you a really quick, funny story. And during the second lockdown, they were having a conversation. One of the lads from his school WhatsApp group said, oh, for God's sake, I can't believe we have to go through this again. I'm stuck in this house with all these hormones. And then another lad came on and went, menopause, menopause, menopause. I blame Lorraine Keane.
It's your fault.
Which I thought was brilliant. We're getting the lads on the WhatsApp group to talk menopause now. So we've come a long way.
I think, you know, it's brilliant. And the fact that Liveline did it for 3 weeks is brilliant. And I think the next step is to include us. And I know, and that's a difficult one, because that depends on your relationship with your partner, husband, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it will be a lot easier for people to get through it if they have an understanding partner.
Yes, exactly.
And for them to become understanding, they have to be included.
Yes. And that is something that I think is brilliant, where you see some of the big corporates now introducing support programs within the company. And it's not just for the women, it's for their male counterparts as well.
Right.
So that they understand,
yes,
good Lord, this is what this person is going through.
Yes.
You know, I've seen so many of my friends whose confidence has been knocked so badly in their 40s, going into their 50s, you know, really qualified women who put so much time into their careers, took a bit of time out to be with the family and mind the kids. And now they don't have the confidence to go back and do that job that they do so bloody well. And they would be a benefit, a bonus in any company, because they now have time to focus.
Is that because it coincides with the menopause?
Yes. Because the confidence thing.
Yes.
I had it myself, and people looking at my Instagram would go, there's no way she's having any confidence problems, you know. But with social media, we always say you put your best face forward, you know, never mind foot. It's a snapshot of a small part of your day.
Yeah.
But my confidence did take a hit, you know, where I did start second guessing myself, you know, and having my 15-year-old saying to me, Mom, for goodness sake, you know, you do this. This is your job. This is what you love doing. You'll be fine. You know, because I would share over dinner, I'm really nervous, you know, about doing something that normally would never make me nervous.
Yes. You mentioned your social media output and you're in the news for that as well today. Was it your Instagram or your Twitter account?
Everything.
Everything?
Yeah.
What happened?
Like a lot of people, even though I had heard and been told so many times, read, that you shouldn't have the same password for everything, I, you know, took the easy way, and I did have the same password for everything. And again, I would be very well aware not to press any link, not to give any personal details, passwords or account numbers to anything online. But now the scamming, the cyber criminals out there have obviously become so sophisticated that I didn't get one message on my email. I got two messages, one on my Instagram, which was a direct message on my Instagram privately, which coincided with an email that I also got saying to me that I had put up a post that something to do with it wasn't hashtagged SP, you know, sponsored post or ad. Because I violated some law. And if I didn't change that, they would delete my account in 24 hours.
And who were they saying they were?
Instagram.
Oh, they were saying they were Instagram.
And they would take my entire account down.
And because now if you're an influencer, you have to state that your post is sponsored by whoever.
That makes complete sense. So I went back in and saw, and there was nothing like that. I hadn't done anything like that. But because I was distracted, it was Friday night, even though I know, and it does seem so ridiculous now when I'm telling this story, I know you should never do this. I did it. I pressed the link because I'd gotten both at the same time.
Yes.
And that was it. They, because I have the same password, and that's what I'd love your listeners to do what I didn't do, have different passwords for every single account, have really strong passwords. So ones that aren't your dog's name or your mother's maiden name or your, you know, pet name for your husband or your date of birth.
The sooner, like, it's Face ID for everything, the better. But
oh, anyway, yeah. Like, put in stars and exclamation marks and lower and high case. Do a long password. Have a different password for each account. Do the 2FA, the two-factor authentication.
Easier said than done, Lorraine.
It's so quick. It's so easy.
I know, but then you've 15 different passwords.
But I got really, I mean, it was so scary at the weekend.
So these were cyber criminals then.
So they were phoning me.
They were phoning you?
On WhatsApp. I didn't pick up the phone because I recognised that was a foreign number. They changed my account face and name. All my posts were still up there. And they started demanding a ransom. And when I didn't pick up the phone, they started texting on WhatsApp. And it was just really scary. They deleted my entire Twitter account. It's gone. Managed to hold on to Facebook because Peter had a different password for one, and we got into the other one in time. But my Instagram is my work. Like, the first they asked was $100.
Right.
And I, as I said, I didn't engage with them at all. And seemingly, if you pay that, then they say, no, I want 1,000. And then if you know, say, I can pay that, they'll ask for 5,000. It just keeps going on and on and on. You'll also then have a badge on your profile as a payer. So for the rest of your life, it goes through the
soft
cyber
touch.
Criminals community.
Soft touch.
Yeah. And so I knew not to do any of that, but it went on for the entire weekend. Like, during the night, I had my phone on silent, woke up, you know, first thing Sunday morning, 7 a.m.
This is yesterday or?
Yeah. So it was from Friday night till yesterday. Then they sold on my account. So they asked for $1,000. And then they started sending really threatening messages saying that they were in my account. You know, they had infected my entire account, which I actually spoke to Paul C. Dwyer, who's a cyber expert. Connor Pope, actually, very kind.
He's coming on, yeah.
Yeah, he gave me the contact. And he said, basically, what they will do is infect all of your accounts. So even for my daughters, for Peter, anything that's linked to the Wi-Fi is now, you know, maybe infected by these people. And it's my work, you know, and not only is it my work, I've been working on it for 6 years.
So you've reported it to the guards, have you?
Charities work that I do as well. Yeah. I reported to the guards on Saturday and they were actually very helpful. God love them. They don't have the resources they should have. And I tried to get onto Facebook on Friday night, but their helpline was temporarily closed. And time is of the essence in these situations. You have to act quick. So on Saturday, I was literally looking at my Instagram. They sent me a message saying, we're deleting your posts. And every second they delete one and then another and then another. And this was going on for the whole day. And I don't know whether it was probably a combination of eventually Facebook, Paul C. Dwyer, the expert in cyber criminology, and the Gardaí. They managed to freeze my account and I just got control of it again today.
How did that make you feel, that whole
thing? It was so, so stressful. It was so scary. I felt so vulnerable. I just felt, it was just horrible, and it still kind of is.
Yeah.
You know,
it's,
but
because oftentimes,
I'd say
it's the equivalent of, you know, when your house is broken into. Okay, the stuff is robbed, that can be replaced. It's the fact that somebody was in your house.
And
so somebody was in and around your digital life there.
Exactly, yeah. And you really have, it made me realise how little control I had over it. But there are controls out there. And if I can say to your listeners, the password is really important, a strong one. Different passwords for each account. Do the 2FA, the two-factor authentication, because it actually is really quick and it works. And just make sure that like, all of your accounts are not linked. You know what I mean? Have them separate. And then if something like this, God forbid, happens, just, you know, like, back up all of your stuff on iCloud and reset your passwords and your accounts, and then get the stuff, the data back off your iCloud. Oh, well,
yeah,
it was painful.
I'm
not the better of it.
An eventful weekend that you could do without. Just on the menopause, my wife has been going through the menopause for the past decade. It's been very difficult for her and for our relationship. I'm very happy that at least it's becoming a topic freely. spoken about. Yes, so that's
great.
And listen to Lorraine, your show. Menopause broke up my relationship. I was engaged to get married, but my partner didn't want to hear about how I was feeling and decided he didn't want to cope with it. We were in our early 50s, second time round. I should have looked for help sooner. Thought I was losing my mind through stress, but turned out to be the menopause. So there.
Wow.
You'll meet Conor on the way in.
Can I ask if they want information?
Yes.
Cleanmarine.ie.
Yes.
There's an amazing booklet. It's free. It's called The Essential Guide to Female Hormones. And it's from puberty to postmenopause. Everything. Advice, tips from experts all over the country.
Great to see you.
Thank you, Ray.
Say hello to Peter and the girls for us. Okay, thanks, quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, that's promo. Connor Pope.
Hey Ray, how are you? Good to see you.
She stepped in, he stepped in.
That's
he,
right, yeah.
She stepped out, he stepped in again. Yeah, good to see you. So Lorraine was wanting to give you a hug there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I was talking to her over the weekend about it. Now, I don't know Lorraine well, but she'd work with my wife sometimes. And it was my wife who alerted me to the problem. So I gave her a shout and we were just talking through the different options. And it is really terrifying how quickly everything can just fall apart.
Yeah.
And I tell you, the one thing I did after speaking to her today for the piece that we put up in the Irish Times is I went into my Twitter account, my Facebook account, my Instagram account, my Gmail account, and I changed all the passwords.
OK, can you tell me then, how are you going to remember all the different passwords?
Well, this is the other thing. I don't know if I should tell you this, because I put everything onto a printed document.
Yes.
And I have that printed document somewhere safe.
Yeah, well, they're not going to bring it into your house.
That's what I'm thinking.
No, they're not going to bring it into your house.
And like to be honest, like, it's Lorraine's business.
Yeah.
So like, you know, her, like, someone could take my Instagram account now, and you know, I don't have that. I've got about 8,500 followers. I don't use it for business, so it'd be annoying. But for her, it's her business.
That's her job, yeah.
And the thing is, the way these criminals operate is they're not just targeting Lorraine Keane. They're targeting loads of different people at the same time. And, you know, they might get lucky one time in 10, two times in 10. But if they're blackmailing somebody, and that's effectively what it is. And actually, the guy, Paul C. Dwyer, the cybersecurity expert who I spoke to, he's brilliant.
Yeah. Like,
he's really, really, really good. But he made the point to me, and I'd never had it made in such a clear way before. If every time you left your house, somebody tried to steal your wallet, there would be uproar.
Yeah.
There would be absolute chaos. Yet that is what's happening in the digital space every single day to all of us. And the police, the guards can't do anything about it because they don't have the resources. And this is an international crime that's happening. So the only people who can really step in and take action are the social media companies, whoever they are, Facebook, Instagram, like they're the Twitter. These are the companies who control the levers of power. So this idea, as I just had this notion. Imagine between I live in Stonybatter. Imagine in the time it took me to cycle from Stonybatter to Donnybrook. Imagine if 15 people had tried to steal my wallet. We wouldn't be talking about anything else but the fact that there was these people stealing. And yet that's what's happening in the digital space.
And they have the capabilities to close this down if they want to.
Listen, if some guy is sending rogue messages to 100 people or 10,000 people,
they can spot it.
They know who he is. Like, they know he's not you.
Similarly, they can make sure that you're the age you say you are. You know, they can
require ID.
They
and
can
all
do
of
all
things.
Of this.
Like, I've got
if
a Revolut card, and we've talked about Revolut, I think, in the past. Like, to sign up for Revolut, I had to send them a scanned copy of my driver's license or my passport. Now, that should be the bare minimum.
For
a social
Facebook,
media account, because then at least they know who you are.
Yeah,
they know that you're who you say you are, and your address and your contact details. So that if you get up to bad behavior, well, then you will be policed. Mm. And like it's not really difficult to do, but they don't want to do that, of course, because that will reduce the engagement that they have on the social media platforms.
And impede their plans for world domination.
Oh, don't even start.
Right, okay. Pricewatch at RTE.ie if you want Connor's help on any consumer issues you're grappling with. Here we go. Dear Connor, I'm writing to highlight the unfair way the Motor Taxation Office charges those who wish to tax their vehicles for less than a full year. An example. Yearly tax for my car is €385. The 6-month rate is €213. That would be 426 a year. And for 3 months, it's 108, which would be 432 per year, as opposed to 385. In the past, the tax office stated that shorter periods of taxation incurred extra administration charges that had to be recouped. However, this can hardly be justified at the present time when most renewals are done online. Not everyone can afford to pay for a full year up front. Why penalise them for opting for a 3-month or a 6-month period? That's a very good question.
It really is. And you know what? This is yet another sign that those who can afford at least often end up paying the most. So we've talked about bank charges in the past, and the people who can keep their bank accounts in perfect working order with a huge amount on deposit can easily avoid bank charges. Yet the person who's constantly up to their overdraft limit and has these unauthorized payment charges and all that stuff is the one who pays way more. So a person who has loads of money in their bank pays around 60, 70 euros in bank charges. A person who's struggling will pay an average of around 200 euros. So they're paying more. Yeah. Similarly, if you pay for car insurance in installments as opposed to in one fell swoop, you pay between 10-15% more. So again, the people who can't afford to pay it all off in one go pay more. And yet it's not the tax man falling off. I'll get to that in a second. Yes. This is the government penalising effectively people who can't afford to pay their motor tax in one go. And this is not a new story. This has been going on for years and years and years. In fact, I went back and I looked through the archives, and the first time I covered this in the Irish Times was in 2013. Right. And even then, it had been going on for years and years and years. So the owner of a 1 litre car will pay around 37 euros extra per year if they pay quarterly versus pay annually. If you've got a 2 litre car, you pay 114 euros a year more if you pay quarterly. So somebody who bought a second-hand 2 litre car 5 years ago is now paying 114 euros more.
If they pay quarterly.
Because they can't afford to pay it annually. And this, it's an ongoing problem. So what do they say? Well, first off, I contacted Revenue, and Revenue got back to me straight away saying, do you know what? This isn't our issue. It's the Department of Transport.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, and that makes perfect sense. Like, is it motor tax? Of course, it's the Department of Transport. So I contacted the Department of Transport, and they're entirely unapologetic. They said, this made sense historically, because you'll remember this, Ray.
I do.
You had to get a tax.
Farnham Shopping Centre. Oh, I spent many an hour out there.
The motor tax office, and you'd queue up, and you'd have someone stamping the thing, and you'd have the big little thing.
You'd have to put a half day aside to do it.
Yeah, but it also required manual intervention at a pretty significant level by the staff working in the motor tax office. So there was this manual intervention, and that was required. Nowadays, everything virtually is done online. So there isn't that manual intervention. And you have to wonder, does it really cost 100 euros for them to print out 4 extra tax discs and send them the post?
No, well, it doesn't.
Of course it doesn't. But so I contacted the Department of Transport anyway, and they said that based on what happens is the upshot of it is that they earn 41 million euros extra a year.
From this.
So there's an additional 41 million euros paid in tax.
Because people don't pay yearly.
And by people who pay biannually. So by people who pay every 6 months. So and they point out reasonably, I suppose, and matter-of-factly, if we don't have that 41 million euros from this revenue stream, we're going to have to get the 41 million euros from another revenue stream.
As you pointed out, that revenue stream is coming from people who can least afford it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I suppose there could be other reasons that it's complicated. Like, you might have a car for a short time, or if you're selling your car halfway through the year. So, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Bottom line is the people who are paying the motor tax quarterly.
41 million.
And they're making 41 million. And revenue, and the Department of Transport said, listen, if we're not getting this 41 million euros, we'll get the 41 million euros from somewhere else. And do you know what I think would be right and fair? I think they should do that. I think we should all pay a little bit more and have it more equitable across the board so that it doesn't make a blind bit of difference if I pay it every quarter, every 6 months or every year. And I'd be happy to pay a little bit more on my motor tax if it meant that somebody who was struggling didn't have to pay 100 euros more. And the thing is, other companies, like the good people at the television license department, they have a facility whereby you can pay the 160 euros in one fell swoop, or you can pay it via direct
debit. But it's 160 euros.
But it's still 160 euros. Yeah. So this is not something that has not been done before.
Okay. So did you ask him about the history of it? So back in the day, there was more administration.
Much more administration.
And you could argue that to pay for that administration, you needed to,
exactly,
in a way, discourage people from going quarterly and half yearly.
So when something becomes the norm, it takes a lot to shift.
Yes,
the
and
dial.
They write it into their books, of course.
Exactly.
That's 41 million there we have from that. From people.
So the Department of Transport and Pascal Dunhu's Department of Finance would have to come up with another way to come up with the 41 million euros. And like sometimes you think of 41 million, when you think of all the money sloshing around, particularly in COVID times, you think, oh, that's not that much. But it is.
But in,
you know, it's a lot
areas,
of money.
You could do an awful lot with,
and you could build, you could divert all of that to public transport, say.
Yes.
Or you could do, there's really good things you could do with that money. So I totally understand that it would leave a gap in revenue from the motor tax office. But I don't accept that the poorest people The people who really struggle to meet these payments every single quarter are the ones who should be plugging that gap. Mm. I think we should either all plug it.
And this is a ridiculous question. I'm going to ask it anyway. Did they see that it was a bit daft that they were making 41 million from people who could probably afford it?
When you're dealing with the civil, when you're dealing with somebody in the civil service, like, it's not their job. It's not the person who's corresponding with me to say, yeah, no, that's bonkers. Like, they're entirely professional. They go about their job in an entirely professional fashion. So they wouldn't give any kind of, and I wouldn't expect them to intimate in any way what they actually thought about it. But I think everybody would accept that in the world we live, given that everything or virtually everything has progressed into the online space, and there is no real significant administrative costs. I'm sure there probably would be administrative costs
They should change it, yeah.
But they should change it, and I think we'd all be slightly better off if they did.
Just while you're here, a couple of quick questions. Sean in County Clare, please ask Conor why my insurance is cheaper with a broker that with directly with the same insurance company than directly dealing with the insurance company.
That his broker has managed to knock out a good deal, because sometimes insurance companies are open to haggling, ridiculous as it might sound. And if a broker says, listen, I bring 20 people to your company every week, cut me a better deal. Sometimes they do that.
Okay. Traded in my old car for a 2014, had paid full year tax on old car 6 months ago, which will probably be scrapped. Why could I not transfer the remaining 6 months tax to my new car?
Again, that's a really good point. Yeah. He's not even asking for the money back for the 6 months of tax that he paid. He's just asking, listen, I've already paid tax on a car. Can I not move it to the car I'm now driving as opposed to the one that's in the scrap heap? And again, that would make perfect sense.
If you can only afford to pay your tax quarterly, you are heavily penalised. Pete, that's what we're saying, Pete. Yes, and Pete agrees.
Pete's on our side.
Pete's on our side. Pricewatch@rte.ie. Pricewatch@rte.ie. And Conor Pope, in his guise as the sort of internet scam police, writes again in the Irish Times today. Rides again and writes again in the Irish Times today. And you can read that online, irishtimes.ie. Conor, thanks so much.
Care.
We'll talk to you next Monday. No, we won't, because it's a bank holiday.
And I'll be in Paris.
You'll be in Paris.
I shouldn't say that. Enjoy. No, I won't be.
Somebody will break in and get all your new passwords. And Anish Doshin and the priest, Gaelton and Oak, to let Marion Ihuluan. Good Marion. Thank you very much. Now, 51551, ray@rte.ie. It was so sad last night when I heard about Brendan Kennelly's death, and equally so today listening to all the emails you've received about him. I think half the women in Ireland were in love with him. His twinkling eyes and his beautiful lilting Kerry voice. He opened my bookshop in Naas many years ago. It was a great evening of poetry and crack. He also did another reading in Naas Library a few years later in 1990, where he read from A Time for Voices. You know, he never drove, so my husband Sean went to Trinity to collect him that evening. My three-year-old son was in the back of the car wearing an Aran cardigan that one of the girls, Judy, who worked with me, had knitted for him. Brendan was really chuffed by this, and he read that beautiful poem, a poem from a three-year-old, I suppose, to honour Oisin. We all have great memories of him, and he won't be gone as long as we keep reading his poetry. Yes, he's left behind a great legacy. Now, it's time for our Reeling in the Years quiz. Yes, it's our first day, so you know, bear with us. There may be some teething problems. We tried it out with Paul Howard and Gordon Darcy on Friday, so we think it works. And there's a prize, as there will be every day. And this week, thanks to the people in the Hard Rock Hotel in Dublin, two nights stay there and with a chance to dine in their restaurant, the Zampa's restaurant. You experience the taste of Lima with Peruvian food in a coolly atmospheric vibe with cocktails made by expert mixologists. And you can find out more at hardrockhotels.com. Now on the line we've Fiona Barry from Cork. How are you, Fiona?
Hi, Ray, how are you?
I'm sure in school they used to call you Barry. There's your Barry one there.
My cousin's name is Barry, but that's at the other side, so it's very complicated.
Oh, yeah, no, he's hardly Barry, is he? No. No. I used to know a guy called Conor O'Connor.
Well, there you go.
And there was a guy in here called Brian O'Brien. But you're Fiona Barry. Whereabouts in Cork are you, Fiona?
I'm actually just in Bishopstown and going for a walk at the moment. Ray, I'm your biggest fan.
Go on,
I watched you like growing up in the 90s, and I swear to God, I entered so many competitions.
Did you?
Do you ever remember the one with midterm with all the pumpkins, and there was about 10 pumpkins.
Yes.
And then you ring in, and if someone gets through, you pick a pumpkin. And then and then at Christmas, it was... what was it at Christmas? The puddings.
The puddings, yes, the puddings.
Yes. It was, and I have such like good memories, yeah. But I never won.
You never won? That was the question, you never won.
The hi-fi system or the Walkman.
Today could be your lucky day, Fiona. Today could be your lucky day. I believe you're off to The Lion King in January.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I just love, like, I'm not good at singing, but I love, like, Disney and...
Yeah.
I've never ever been to the Borgosh or anything like that. I've never seen a show. Or I've only ever been to Taylor Swift. And that was on my own, so yeah. I'm really excited.
It's spectacular. The Borgosh Energy Theatre is spectacular. Yeah. Yeah, that's something to look forward to. And of course, you know, Elton John wrote the music for that.
Did you know that?
Yeah, The Lion King. I saw a brilliant interview with him, himself and Jules Holland there on Friday night. If you get a chance to watch it back. He's in his 70s, his new album out, he's in great form. It was just a lovely chat between two men who love their music. Anyway, you're up against Anne Higgins, who's in Nace. How are you doing, Anne?
I'm fine, Ray. How are you?
Good. We've just got a mention of Nace already.
You're guinea pig number two, Anne.
Yes, exactly. Guinea pig number... Well done, Fiona. Yes, you are guinea pig number two. Nace in County Clare, what are you up to today?
I have just come out of Punchestown COVID testing centre. Hands off to all involved with the HSE and the wonderful work they're doing in our centres.
Okay. And have you got symptoms or what? I shouldn't really be asking.
Just mild, but I'm working a couple of days a week, so I have to be mindful of that.
Yes, of course you do. Yes, yeah. Who's at home?
My son, Fionn, his girlfriend, Sarah Jane, and his dad, Fionn, is also there. And there's two doggies as well, Max and Millie. So we're well represented at home.
Okay.
But there's a couple have spread the nest as well. And two of them living in Nace and one in Dublin.
Okay, not too far away. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's only hop, skip and jump between Nace and Dublin, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, as Fiona says, both of your guinea pigs, first people on the line doing are reeling in the ears. So we've three clips each. And the twist on this one is, Fiona and Anne, that if you go for a long clip, which is easier, you only get 1 point. If you decide to go for a short clip, you get 2 points. Okay?
Okay.
Right, so I'll give you the choice before each question. Three questions each. We'll try it. I tell you, no tension bed today because we're just going to play it normally and see if it works. Okay. So good luck to you both. If at the end it's a draw, we go to a tie-break situation. Right. Fiona. So the year is 2001. All the questions are about clips from 2001. The first question is on the telly.
Oh, fabulous.
So are you going to go for long or short?
I'll go long, sure.
Long for 1 point. Okay. Have a listen to this.
Wait.
Wait? How long?
Until I'm ready.
How long will that be?
Well, I don't know, Dick. I mean, why? Are you worried you can't do without a woman?
Can you name that RTÉ drama that finished up in May 2001 after 17 seasons?
I don't know. I'll just guess and say Glenroe.
It's a good guess because it's correct.
Are you joking?
Yeah, no, that's the correct answer, yes. And Dick was the giveaway there. Well done. So you get 1 point there. Well done. Now, on the telly for you from 2001, do you want to go short for 2 points or long for 1 point, Anne?
Long, please.
You're going to go long. Okay. Have a listen to this.
The wrong did a birth.
Are you sure?
Aye.
Definitely. What is it?
I think 15th is like 87 or something. I saw...
No, you said 85. Which means that you wouldn't be 18.
I would be 16.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. Can you name the TV programme which first aired on RTÉ television in November 2001?
It was the girl from the north who didn't tell the truth about her birth cert.
Yes.
Oh my God. What was it?
Any idea? You know the clip and the context of it,
but we
need the name of the programme. Do you want to have a stab at it?
No, I don't have it.
It's Popstars. Popstars. And that was Nadine Coyle there.
And she went on to be famous.
She did, yes. It didn't harm her too much. Okay, early days. Right, in the charts for you, Fiona.
We'll go long.
You go long again. So we want the singer and this and the song on this number one, and you're going long. Here we go.
I don't know what to do.
Say it wasn't you.
All right. Honey came in and she got me red-handed, creeping with the girl next door.
So, singer and song.
Shaggy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Go on. Anything? No.
I can sing it, but I have no idea. No. I'm trying to take it. No.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right, for you, Anne, in the charts from 2001, do you want long or short?
Long, please.
Long again. Okay, here we go. So, singer and song.
I need Sarah Jane to answer this for me. I'm sorry. She's at home.
Oh, she right?
I'm sorry, I haven't a clue.
No, Kylie Minogue can't get you out of my head. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe these are too difficult. Okay.
Too young.
Yeah. So, Fiona, final thing is in the news.
Okay. So we'll go long.
You're going to go long again. Okay, have a listen to this. There we go.
Severe restrictions were placed on travel and trade between the two countries. Internal movement here was also curtailed, and people had to disinfect their footwear on entering public buildings.
Yeah, hold on, I'll ask you the question first. That's a clip from a news report by Joe O'Brien. An outbreak of what was responsible for the restrictions?
Oh, yeah.
And you go...
The foot and mouth, I always remember.
Yes.
For coming home from Lanzarote. You didn't know what was happening.
There you go. So you're on two. Now, Anne, you can actually go even with Fiona if you go short on this one and get it correct. If you go long, that's it.
Has she not got two?
She has two, yeah. Yeah, but you can get two if you go short on this.
All right. Oh, well then, yeah, give it to me.
Give it to me, she says. Okay. So it is short for 2 points to bring us to a tie-break situation. Have a listen to this.
Referenda have never attracted as many voters as general elections, but the indications are that today's poll has been particularly low.
So that's a clip from a report by Dave McCullough on the referendum on which European treaty, which took place in June of 2001. Anne?
No. Sorry.
European treaty. Name one.
Brexit?
No.
Too late.
It was the Nice Treaty. The Nice Treaty. Okay.
Yeah.
We probably need to go back to the drawing board. They were probably too difficult. But Fiona, you're today's winner.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. Ray, 10 years later.
Yeah, Anne, you were going to send you out a Radar Show mug, and great talking to you. Mind yourself.
Thank you so much. And well done, Fiona.
Bye, Anne.
And I hope,
bye, Anne.
Enjoy your trip.
I hope it's negative. Okay, thanks very much, Anne. Fiona, you are off to the Hard Rock Cafe in Dublin, yourself and a person of your choice. And you can find out more about it at hardrockhotels.com/Dublin.
Oh my God, Ray, thank you so much.
Well done.
Thank you so
see
much.
See you, Fiona. Bye, bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, 5 and 5 on RayRTE.ie. Sarah remembers the pick a pumpkin on the den. You're a better person than me. And in both Italy and Spain, the road tax is on the cost of fuel. Thus, the more you drive, the more you pay. And so the less you drive, the less you pay. Sort of sounds fair. If your car is scrapped, your entire... you're entitled to your tax back, says David, and the outstanding tax. I'm an Irishman living in the Netherlands, and it makes me pull my hair out when I hear how outrageously backward the Irish system is as regards most things. I pay by direct debit my €19 car insurance each month and €25 car tax each month, and we have no stickers on our windows screen, says Joe. And why don't they put a few cent on fuel to cover car tax? Then everyone pays as they drive. High mileage motorists pay more and does away with discs and frees up Garda and court time. That's Pat Ryan. And of course, that's very green as well, isn't it? Because it sort of penalises people who drive more. And so that would work. Eamon Ryan would be all for that, I would imagine. Now, Sinead Quinlan is on the way, but first, a bit of this. Christine and Tiltert, and she was on Jules Holland the other night as chosen by Sir Elton John. He is Sir Elton, isn't he? Sinead Quillen, good afternoon.
Hello, Ray. Raya.
Come in, don't be afraid
nice
of the microphone.
To see ya.
Good to see you.
Hello, I'm back.
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah.
Seriously, Sinead, I'm going to... Seriously, Sinead is the name of the programme, but seriously, Sinead, I'm going to move that closer to you.
Right. Lean in more.
There you go, yeah.
We'll be shouting now.
Yeah, so Seriously, Sinead, the second series is on the RT Player.
Yep, available to watch now.
Yes, and I'm in it.
Yes, Ray is in it. Ray, you play a very pivotal role.
Yeah, I did.
So basically, I'm coming up to Dublin, up to the Big Smoke, trying to make it in stand-up. And I realised pretty quickly it's tough to get a gig. So yeah. I go to RTE, trying to get a job.
Yeah.
And I run into you. And you more or less try to run away from me.
No, yeah. Well, obviously, it's fiction.
Oh, yeah, of course. You played the role very well, though. It was quite convincing, Ray. Yeah.
And me not being a good actor, what would that suggest to you?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. But look, we had you on The Den.
It's true, yeah.
It's
you said before, you were like, you feel kind of responsible for me. Yeah, you kind of gave birth to me, Ray, which is quite an image I've created for people. Yes.
We better clarify that, Sinead, before we continue, that we ran a competition on the radio and then on telly called Stand Up and Be Funny, and Sinead Quillen was the winner.
Yeah.
And so as a result of that, part of your prize was to get a sort of a developmental deal with the RT player.
Yeah,
which
was
has
no
turned
kind
into
guarantee.
Yeah, which has turned into two series.
I know.
And
great.
The first one went on terrestrial television as well.
It did, yeah, it really did. It was on the TV
a
lot.
So where's my 5%?
I know, yeah. I'd say you'd be all right, Ray. Yeah, you'll survive without my bit.
So it landed last week, or dropped, or whatever they say, and people can watch all four.
Yeah, all four.
On the RT player now. How's it been? You're out and about over the weekend?
I know. The lads were asking me here, they were like, check it up then, thing exciting. And I was like, well, I believe in creating your own excitement.
Oh, is
that? So, I wore a pair of red leather pants during the weekend.
Right.
And as most attention I've gotten in a long time. So, yeah, I was giving free Britney vibes. But she's already free, so she's all good.
Yeah. And did you go through a number of outfits before you chose your red leather trousers?
No, I seen them and I said, that's the one for me.
Yeah.
It's the first time I was out in a long time, so I was like, let's make a statement. I think it's probably the most liked Instagram photo I have.
Right.
So, if anyone's looking to add a bit of excitement to their life, that's all you need, a pair of red leather pants.
And were you gigging? No.
Oh, no.
No, just out.
People wouldn't hear a word you say if you had the pair of pants on stage.
Yeah, I remember. That's odd because I remember talking to Anne Doyle, who used to read the news.
Yeah.
And she'd be, relaying very serious stories, international stories that have, ramifications for all of us. And yet the biggest reaction she'd get was if she wore a different pair of earrings from Newbridge Silverware or something like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's mad things people pick up on.
Yes.
Yeah. But in saying that, I do wear a bright yellow hat.
Yes, you do. That's your thing.
Yeah.
And you're wearing the jacket. I recognise it from the programme.
Yeah, I was wearing it in our scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely so how was the whole stand-up? So what, you were on the show, the TV show, what, 2 years ago, was it? 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, about 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that stage, you'd only done four stand-up gigs or something.
Crazy stuff. And so then I ended up doing nearly more TV work than stand-up.
Yeah.
With The Den and everything. And I was on Clear History as well.
Yes.
And RT2. And I was so sad. I will just say, I was so sad to hear The Den wouldn't come back. I was actually so sad, Ray. I went to the fridge and I ate grated cheese straight out the bag. You know what I mean? Which is pretty bad.
That is. Do you
but
go,
we're glad it happened.
Do you go for cheddar or mozzarella or what do you go?
Oh, extra mature.
Extra mature. That's your thing.
Yeah.
So you're not a vegan, I take it?
No. I'd love to be one.
Would you?
I just don't think I could do it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the dairy, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should try it. Like, we should probably all try it once.
But can't you get vegan cheese?
It's meant to be shocking.
Is it?
Yeah, it's meant to be the one thing that's just not good.
That they can't get right.
Yeah, yeah.
When I say they, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, they. Into the abyss.
Yes, they can't get the vegan mature cheddar right.
Yeah, I did a gig in Vicar Street 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When Tommy Tiernan was there. And in a mad turn of events, he's actually filming Derry Girls. So he had to leave before halftime.
Right.
So I was actually on after Tommy Tiernan.
So he supported you?
Yeah, my friends were mocking me saying that. They were like, yeah, he opened for you. I was like, yeah. But we actually end up wearing the exact same colour suit. So we're like twins. So not only I look like a stunt double, basically, for Tommy Tiernan going on acting.
You could never look like a stunt double for Tommy Tiernan. And there is another Tiernan connection in that Eleanor, his niece, cousin
yeah.
co-writes Seriously, Sinead.
Yeah, so she was great. She was a co-writer this time. And we actually had a bit in it about Tommy Tiernan. So I'm reading a book. And the book title is My Journey to Becoming a Hat Enthusiast. So I was asking her, I was like, will you get odd now or that? She was like, nah, you find that gas.
No.
Yeah.
So he's in the new run of Derry Girls, which is series 3. And I think Lisa McGee has said it's the final one.
Final one, yeah.
And I see in the paper today that Fatboy Slim is also in it.
Oh, yeah. Unreal.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. Fact.
And our cameos are all the go now, obviously, because that'll be a cameo on his part, not Tommy's. And I have a cameo on yours. Did I mention that already?
Yes. It's actually, honestly, it's worth watching it just for that alone. Ray is unreal. It's so funny.
Aaron has been on. Delighted Sinead is on. She's absolutely gorgeous. I'm a big fan of hers. I love her gorgeous hair, her beautiful accent and everything about her.
Oh my God. Thanks so much. He never mentioned the pants though, the red leather pants.
Yeah. How is it with your love life? Because you talk about it in Seriously, Sinead, but I don't know if that's fact or fiction, or, you know, some of it's fact, some of it's fiction.
You have
moved up to Dublin in real life.
No,
haven't.
See, it is confusing because it's me, but it's also not me. It's like a fictional character, I suppose, for comedy purposes. Some stuff is real, some stuff is not, but you just have to guess what's real and what's not. I won't tell. I won't say anything.
Because I was just looking at your house and I'm going, that's a lovely house there. You have lovely doors that open out into the garden.
I was like, I'd never be able to afford this place in Dublin. There's no way. It's way too nice.
Well, you share it with three people, don't you? Three other people.
I have three housemates.
Finbar, Chloe and Gary. Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah.
So Killian Sunderman, he was pretty popular over the pandemic. He's very funny.
Yes.
Fanula Jay and Nigerian Irish comedian Idam Ibama. So he's very good too.
And they're all in this Seriously, Sinead.
Yeah.
So this is the time where I ask you this big question, which I ask you every time. So where are you going now? Not actually when you leave the studio, but in life and in your career.
Back into the car. I know. I wake up every day just grateful to be alive, right? And just see where it goes. Where am I going? I suppose stand-up really is kind of my focus now. So I'll be up. Galway Comedy Festival is starting tomorrow. So we're going up for that. Then randomly during the week, I'm doing a gig at a child protection conference.
Right.
Which is probably going to be the weirdest gig I've ever
done.
That is
strange.
Sounds strange, but I'm actually a qualified social worker.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Never worked a day in it, ever.
But
I have the
qualified
papers, though.
Yes, yeah, qualified, yes. So maybe that's why you were chosen to do it.
So that's what happened. So the head lecturer got on to me and was like, we have a child protection conference coming up. Do you want to do the entertainment in between? And I was kind of like, being the ghoul that I am, I was like, okay, I'll do it.
This sounds like some sort of script for a sitcom, doesn't it?
That's it. But that's kind of where I get my material, just living my life. It's easy to be a comedian when your life is literally a joke. ridiculous things happen.
They've been on new or vegan cheese has really improved. You've got to try it. Very best regards, Eve Parnell.
Oh, this is good to know, Eve.
You see all of these things. The bigger the demand, the more people see there's money to be made. And they put the effort in.
We better work on the cheese, lads.
Yeah. Okay, so I thought that you would have some sort of influence over in TV to get the Den back.
I know. Yeah. We do have a petition, to be fair.
Yeah, right. There's a petition,
There's over 1,500 people have signed it now, which is pretty good.
Bring back the Den.
Bring back the Den, lads. Come on, let's get signing it.
Because I was really looking forward to you out and about, because that was the original plan. That you would knock on people's doors and surprise them and all that sort of thing. But because of COVID we couldn't do that. Yeah. So you were over sort of 20 feet away from me, which was funny in itself. Anyway, Seriously, Sinead, season 2 on the RT player. Good luck with everything. And if you're down at the Galway Comedy Festival, you can see Sinead live. Sinead from us. That's it from us. See, Sinead.
He's happened actually in school. Oh, does it? When he was doing the role in Irish, he'd be like, Sinead, I'd be like, yeah, every time.
Cormac and Sarah are on the way and we are back tomorrow. 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.